How did you come to be part of the Rakshana?
He shrugs. I have always been with them.
Not always, surely. You must have had a mother and a father.
Yes, but I never really knew them. I left them when I was 6.
Oh, I say, shocked. I'd never thought of Kartik as a little boy leaving his mother's arms. I am sorry. He won't meet my eyes.
There's nothing to be sorry for. It was understood that I would be trained for the Rakshana, like my brother Amar before me. It was a great honor for my family. I was taken into the fold and schooled in mathematics, languages, weapons, fighting, and cricket.
He smiles.
I'm quite good at cricket.
What else?
I was taught how to survive in the woods, how to track things, thievery.
I raise my eyebrows at this.
Whatever it takes to survive. One never knows when picking a man's pocket will buy a day's food or create a distraction at just the right moment.
I think of my own mother, gone for good now, and how deeply I feel her loss. Didn't you miss your family terribly? His voice, when it comes, is very quiet.
In the beginning, I looked for my mother on every street, in every market, always hoping I would see her. But I had Amar, at least.
How terrible! You had no say in it.
It was my fate. I accept it. The Rakshana have been very good to me. I have been trained for an elite brotherhood. What would I have done in India? Herded cows? Gone hungry? Lived in the shadow of the English, forced to smile while serving their food or grooming their horses?
I didn't mean to upset you.
You didn't upset me, he says. I don't think you understand how great an honor it is to be chosen for the brotherhood. Soon I will be ready to advance to the last level of my training.
What happens then?
I don't know, he says, with a sweet smile. You must swear an oath of allegiance for life. Then you are shown the eternal mysteries. No one ever speaks of it. But first, you must complete a challenge set before you to prove your worthiness.
What is your challenge? His smile fades.
To find the temple.
Your fate is joined to mine.
Yes,
he says softly.
So it would seem.
He's looking at me in such an odd way that I am once again aware of how compromised I am in my robe. You should go now.
Yes, I should,
he says, leaping up.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, I answer.
Do you often talk to your mirror? Is that something young ladies do?
No, of course not. I blush a shade of crimson deeper than has ever been noted on any girl's cheeks. I was rehearsing for a play. I am to perform in a chorus.
That will certainly be a most interesting exhibition,
Kartik says, shaking his head. I have a rather long day of travelling tomorrow and must bid you good night, I say, rather formally. I'm eager for Kartik to leave so that I may suffer my embarrassment in private. He swings his strong legs over the window's edge and reaches for the rope nestled in the thick ivy running up the school's walls. Oh, how will I contact you should I find the temple?
The Rakshana have secured employment for me in London over the holiday. Somewhere close. I'll be in touch.
And with that, he is through the window and scurrying down the rope. I watch him join the night, wishing he could come back. I've barely secured the latch when there's a knock on my door. It is Miss McCleavy.
I thought I heard voices, she says, surveying the room.
I was reading aloud, I say, grabbing Anne's magazine from the bed.
I see,
she says in her strange accent. She offers me a glass.
You said you were having trouble sleeping, so I brought you some warm milk.
Thank you, I say, taking it. I loathe warm milk.
I feel that you and I got off on rather the wrong foot.
I am sorry for what happened with the arrow, Miss McCleavy. Truly I am. And I wasn't eavesdropping on you earlier.
Now, it is all forgotten. You share this room with Miss Bradshaw?
Yes, I say.
She and Miss Worthington are your dearest friends?
Yes. They are my only friends, actually.
They are certainly fine young ladies, but not half so interesting as you, I dare say, Miss Doyle.
I am dumbfounded. Me? I'm not so very interesting.
Come now, she says, moving closer. Why, Mrs. Nightwing and I were speaking of you just this very evening, and we agreed that there is something very special about you.
I am standing before her in a misbuttoned robe. You are too kind, I'm sure. Actually, Miss Bradshaw has an astonishing voice, and Miss Worthington is frightfully clever.
See how loyal you are, Miss Doyle. Quick to come to the defence of your friends. It is a commendable trait.
She means to compliment me, but I feel uncomfortable, as if I am being studied.
What a most unusual necklace.
Bold as you please, she traces the curve of the crescent moon with her finger.
Where did you get this?
It was my mother's, I say. She gives me a penetrating look.
It must have been hard for her to part with something so precious.
She is dead. It is my inheritance.
Does it have some meaning? She asks.
No, I lie. None that I am aware of. Miss McCleady stares at me till I have to look away.
What was she like, your mother?
I force a yawn. Forgive me, but I believe I am tired after all. Miss McCleady seems disappointed.
You should drink the milk while it's still warm. It will help you sleep. Rest is so very important.
Yes, thank you, I say, holding the glass.
Go on, drink it.
There's no way around it. I force down a few mouthfuls of the chalky liquid. It tastes strangely sweet.
Peppermint,
Miss McCleady announces, as if reading my mind.
It aids sleep. I'll take the glass back to Bridget. I don't think she much likes me, do you?
I am sure you are mistaken, I say, because it is the polite response.
She looks at me as if I am the devil himself. Do you think I am the devil, Miss Doyle?
No, I croak. Of course not.
I am glad we have decided to be friends. Sleep well, Miss Doyle. No more reading aloud tonight.